Welcome to This Week in Asia, episode 61. This is Smitty, a.k.a. Smitty. Daniel, go ahead and say hello.
Hey, Smitty. What's up? Yeah.
Not much. Good job on Open Web Asia, by the way. Nice work.
Thanks. Thanks for being part of it, man.
It was good fun.
Yes. Yeah, it was good fun organizing it, and it was really good fun to get all you up in KL. Yeah, I really liked the live show. That was something really awesome.
Yeah, I've got a lot of comments on it. People enjoyed it.
Yes. Bernard, we got a comment that they'd rather watch us.
Well, you need the new version of Skype to actually get it working, or actually you need what is it called? Skyposaurus, is it?
Skyposaurus.
Yeah, I think my phone is actually looking to technology like this at the moment because you need to pay for the licensing, so he's actually exploring it at the moment. So if we can have more news on the video side, I'll let you guys know.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
be cool.
Well, if any of you out there are already using this, do send us some feedback on whether or not you like it.
I use it, but for things that we can't do the show with.
Like talking to David Beckham, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
In that case,
you should see what I do with the FaceTime app. It's terrible. Alrighty, folks. Julian, why don't we talk about Mike Fong's baby?
Yes, I was really amused. This might be the first child with its own hashtag. So if you go to Twitter and search for baby M4, you should be able to find all the little posts about the baby. And it's really, really cute because he also used Twitter to crowdsource her name.
And what's her name?
Myra Inez.
Myra Inez.
Yes.
Wow, that's a recent
sure
name.
Sure, she's going to be proud of that fact someday when she's older.
Well,
my dad crowdsourced my name.
I know. And one of the comments on his Twitter feed was, my goodness, she's going to be so Googleable. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not, but, you know, let's give her another 10, 12 years and we will see.
I suppose Mike should probably get her Facebook account, Twitter account, and every account by now.
No,
actually, I already got them all, and then I'm going to sell them to him.
I thought that was your gift to the happy family for the child.
I bought the domain.
Wow, it was fast food.
Yes, these are your tech godfathers, Myra.
something to be proud of. Yes.
Yes. So congratulations on joining the team.
Yes. Well, hopefully Mike will be back soon. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Baby number four, highly impressive.
All right, moving on. I think we should talk a little bit about OpenWay Asia before we dump into the list.
Yes!
We were there. You can catch the live episode, which is online now at thisweekinasia.net. But Daniel, how did you feel about the conference now that it's all over and you've had your glorious vacation back seen on the beach in Malaysia?
I wasn't on the beach, unfortunately. There was some ecological disaster. There was coral bleaching, so we couldn't head to the beach. Instead, I head to the highlands. It was awesome, but really, it was a great experience doing Open Web Asia. I mean, that is the first time we are doing an event at that scale, and I was talking to the founders, Gang and Chang, about the future of Open Web Asia. There should be more things coming about. In fact, we are working on the next one. The next Open Web Asia is going to be back in East Asia. It's going to be in Taiwan.
Awesome.
And we are talking to somebody to bring Open Web Asia down in Indonesia probably in, next year, probably later next year.
Ooh, wow. That'd be fun.
That'd be good, actually.
Things are happening, yeah.
The next one looks to be in Taipei, huh?
Yes, Taipei, and there's still not a firm date about when it will be happening, but they're probably targeting slightly either right before Chinese New Year or Chinese New Year.
But that's a very packed season, though. Most likely after. Usually pre-Chinese New Year will be very, very packed, so I think usually they want to do it after, which is actually a lull season for traveling anyway.
Yeah, I need to tell people in advance so they can book their tickets. And I actually do fly from KL to Taipei. I'm not too sure in Singapore, though.
Yeah, Singapore do fly to Taipei. Yep.
Yeah, you do. Yep.
Oh,
you do indeed.
So are we going to plan for another live show?
Well,
of course.
If the organizers invite, why not, right?
Is the Pope German? Come on.
I have no idea. I think he
is came, actually, because you can't really be Catholic, right? You have to be something. So he's actually German.
Okay.
We covered that. All right. So Open Wet Asia. Any other takeaway thoughts from it? I mean, for me, it's. You know, I think a lot of times there's this comparison coming off of Echelon and then to Open Wet Asia for us that move around the region. But I think leaving all that aside, in and of itself, it was a great show. And I think people are still chatting about it. I had tons of meetings from it, which is why I didn't get to go out that much while I was there. And I think it was a good crowd. I appreciate your hard work with that. And I think you know, people are still talking about it around the region, which is good. Yeah.
It was good. You got in a really good mix of speakers, and it was a really varied crowd of participants. So you get all sorts of perspectives and all sorts of new ideas.
Well, I wish the participants would actually participate a bit more, but they did in the live show, which was really awesome. The really interesting thing about being Open Web Asia, that the takeaway was that mobile is everything mobile. Everyone is talking about mobile. So that is something probably everyone in the region or at least the participant of Open Web Asia are looking at anyway.
Well, I thought it was a great event, definitely. We got a lot of people turning up, talking about things, and probably, you know, the live show is definitely the best thing of the day, actually.
Just want to have a quick feedback. I mean, you guys sat in for some of the session. Which of the session was actually your favorite?
I had a favorite. I think I just tried to attend as many as I could. Most of them were the technology-related ones. I think those are the ones I glommed to. You know, I learned some stuff. I think when it was talking with a few of the locals, like when Nazrul was talking or... You know, that kind of helps get local perspective coupled with, like, some technology. To me, those are more helpful because I'm here and I want to hear those guys. And I think other people who are here want to hear the, like, Google people because they're the ones traveling, right? So I think we all have different kind of motivations for what we want to listen to, right?
I thought the matchmaking sessions that you did for the VCs and entrepreneurs was pretty good as well, a lot. I think one of the things I thought you guys did, which is quite interesting, is that you give a feedback form so that they can collect the feedback form and give it back to the entrepreneurs to see how they can improve better.
Yeah, we're still looking forward. There are some leads that I'm not too sure what deals will actually go through, but that is kudos to MSC Malaysia. I mean, that was purely... MSC Malaysia initiative, that our collaboration partner for Open Web Asia, Southeast Asia. Well, personally, I actually think the thing that really got me excited was the talk by Pritam again, actually.
Which one? The one about Web 2 in Asia again, is it?
Yeah, I mean, he updated it's always exciting. We should get him on the show again too.
Yeah, we should get him on the show. He's fun. Yeah.
How about you, Julian?
I'm less of a pure tech person, so I really enjoyed, I think...
But you're a huge Twitter person, so those...
I'm a huge Twitter person, yes, I know. It's insane. It's extremely enabling because now I have a smartphone, I can tweet everywhere. But I really enjoyed the presentation about Government 2.0, and I made a couple of connections outside of the conference. I had no idea we had this thing called Project Nimbus in Singapore that's trying to do something similar with regards to open access to data. So now personally, I'm going to see whether we can link up, you know, the Singapore guys with some other people who are trying to do a different version of Government 2.0 to say, hey, you've got data, you know, share it, or hey, you're a government, you're online, can you be a little bit more user-friendly, and we'll see what energy comes out of that.
Do we know the guys from Project Nimbus?
Our friends in Makerspace, Ninjin, is also involved in it. Actually, I'm actually working with them at the moment as well.
Why are you not working with...
No, we give our data to Project Nimbus as well. Then they build web applications on top of it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's projectnimbus.org, or is it... Oh, yeah, it's projectnimbus.org.
Yeah, it's an initiative within Microsoft, and what they do is they take public data and they act as a data exchange between the developers who pull the data up and the guys who are providing the data. So it's pretty interesting.
It is indeed. Well, any other thoughts on Open Innovation? And I think we should keep rolling along here.
I was thinking about the Google Dev Fest that happened after that, because I flew back to Singapore. So what happened Daniel.
Yeah, that whole week is Geek Week, I tell you. That was Open Web Asia, which happened on 13 and 14. On, I think, 14, 15, 16, that was Google Day in... my old alum. Basically, some folks from Google Singapore came up to KL and did some recording for their Google Voice project in Malay. You're supposed to read some lines for half an hour and just talk about that. Then there was a Google DevFest, which happened.
Yeah, and the weird thing is they didn't use me for that at all.
I think you just screw off the data anyway.
So my Malay slang's pretty good. Actually.
Your Malay slang's pretty good.
Demonstrate
something for us. Come on.
In Malay slang?
It's, yeah.
Oh, I can't. I'm embarrassed.
Come on, put your money where your mouth is.
There's no money on the line here. Come on.
Yeah, probably that's why they didn't invite you for that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Clearly, there's a reason for it.
Anyway, DevFest was awesome. I think we got DevFest was my site project organizing with Nazro, and we got over 400 people attending for DevFest in KL, and it was pretty awesome. There was a lot of talk about Android, although I know the team from Google cannot talk about Android. There were interesting demos also. So there was this guy from Toronto Tech. They were in Open World Asia. They demo actually an app about what underwear color are you wearing?
What?
Yep.
Oh, that thing's going to be wrong because I don't wear any underwear.
Yeah, so sorry, boxers, but...
Well. I'm all about commando. So clearly, they would get the color wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interest in terms of the app engine and you know how you can actually host stuff over there. And also in terms of developing, but like I said, officially over at the event, they cannot talk anything about Android. But yeah, John was there, and I think we did a quick recording for Digital Age. So we might just do a link over to that podcast.
Right, talking about phones. What do you guys think of the iPhone 4 press con and antenna gate?
What? You mean this phone that's like selling like mad, that's making them tons of money?
That and now you can get a free case.
Why are we still talking about this anyway?
Yeah. That's a good one. I think because people want controversial news that really has no point. And I think also because Jobs got a little pissy when people bid on this, that now they're making news out of it. But I would argue that there's no news here and that we should move along. But if other
whatever it is, I'm still buying the phone, and I know other people are still going to buy the phone. So
I heard the iPad's already sold out now in Singapore.
Yeah, it's sold out within
hours.
Yeah.
Is that every model of it or what?
Everything leaving only the Wi-Fi, but I think the Wi-Fi was sold out a few hours later. I was following the Twitter feed. A lot of social media guys in Singapore were reporting.
So even like the expensive 3G one sold out?
Yes.
Yeah. The 3G one sold out first, is it?
Oh,
wow.
How much is the most expensive anyway?
1200 or something.
$1,228.
It's not bad for it's a 60. So now what? It's going to be like months till they're here again. This is disgusting.
I think it's going to be another month at least. I think usually.
Or so, you can go to Mustafa's.
Why Mustafa's? Because
they have.
They have.
They have.
Oh,
Mustafa has, Lucky Plaza has, but of course these are not the official imports.
Okay. Yes.
Pay crazy price. So basically, the news of the day is that I won't be getting an iPad. That's the news of the day. So,
So our listeners can go buy the lottery now. Very good.
Yeah. So anyway, Antennagate, Daniel, I know you're done with this. Bernard, did you have something to add?
I have nothing to add except that every other handset maker's response is really equally amazing and just trying to tell Apple that it's your problem, not ours.
Yeah, I love the one where Microsoft said this was going to be their like Microsoft
Vista.
Vista moment, and you're laughing all the way to the bank at that one, right? Yeah. It's like, give me a break. Which, I don't know if anybody caught this little news on Microsoft that I thought was kind of funny because we just mentioned them all popping around here, which is they hope Windows 7 apps will turn up because employees will work on their free time to develop Windows 7 apps. How many people believe that one?
Okay.
Just shows you how bad shape Microsoft is, but that was a little segue there.
Yeah.
Microsoft is not adapting to the new ecosystem. Wow.
Which is the new world order. Yeah, they're not at all. But moving on from that, so are we done with Intelligate?
Before that, I always have this, I just recently have this idea or theory, in fact, that, you know, Apple will probably remain the one constant. I'm going to get shit like 10 years down the line. One constant, every company will just go against Apple. And probably it'll be the next company and next company. Apple will still retain a 5% market share for the PC market or whatsoever.
Well, you've put it on the record. We'll check it in, you know, in a couple of
Do you see the one stat that's come out recently, which is they make twice as much profit for every piece of phone equipment they sell than any of the other incumbents, including the people in the Android ecosystem. So the thing that's funny is, if you're making money like that, do you really care what anybody thinks? I mean,
do you know the guy from the iPhone ads, the very first iPhone?
Yeah.
And then he was along just like maybe a couple of weeks. And he said a lot of people focus on market share. The idea is actually profit share.
Yeah, making money. They say that's one of the reasons, if you go back to Intelligate, why he was upset that they had to give the bumpers away, because that's $100 million a year business for them.
Oh, well. So, yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right, so let's talk about some local tech and things that are happening. How many people have heard of Bubble Motion?
I have. Crowdfunded company.
They actually got their start, I think, in your part of the world, Daniel, when it came to their popularity, because they were used for one of the campaigns with Anwar, I think, defend himself. Is that correct?
Yep.
Ah. Yep.
In fact, actually, the company originated in India, and it was moved 3 locations from India to Malaysia and then subsequently down to Singapore.
I think they're shared headquarters in Silicon Valley now, though, right?
Yeah, correct.
Valley office and the Singapore office.
Yeah, just to let you know, one of the co-founders of Bubble Motion actually knows Pritam very well. And I was actually also introduced independently to him through Pritam before.
Well, actually, who doesn't know Pritam?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Pritam.
If you're in Asia, or especially in Southeast Asia, you should know Pritam, right?
6 degrees of Pritam. Yes.
Correct. But I thought,
probably 3.
Yeah, oh, okay. But the product is pretty interesting, though.
It's interesting. I think it's only gotten more popular with their new kind of follow model, which is, you know, kind of one person with an account creating a voice message and then people following it, rather than the point to, you know, people talking to other people, right? They've been at this for a few years, so I know their CEO fairly well because we worked together in the BEA days.
Oh, okay.
But it's taking off in places like India, I think a little bit in Thailand. So it's interesting, right? Because I kind of think of it as like Twitter voice, right?
Mm. It's more real-time as well. I think they also have a locked-in effect with a couple of major telcos in Southeast Asia as well. So which makes the distribution much, much easier as compared to...
Yeah, they got distribution in, I think, Malaysia, Thailand, and now India, I believe, at the carrier level.
Correct.
So... Now, the funny thing is, I haven't seen anybody use it. Have anybody seen it in action?
No, if I'm not mistaken, it's actually not branded as Bubble Motion. It's actually branded under the telco. So you will not see the Bubble Motion.
It's white labeled.
Yeah, it's white labeled.
It's more of a platform technology that's white labeled for the telcos to use, actually.
So I think in Malaysia, it's actually with one of the telcos, which is Digi. And they've been pushing what they call Bubble Talk. Essentially, is pretty much the same thing, actually.
So is it by them? They made it themselves, or what?
No, I think
Bubble Motion supplement the backend. Yeah, the technology is called Bubble Talk, correct? But they white labeled it in a way so that Digi sort of owns it and distributes it.
Yeah, the one in India they call it Bubbly. So
Bubbly.
No, it's an interesting model because I think it's anathema to the way some people think today, which is a very basic, almost voice model wrapped around messaging, right? And it's fairly basic, but I think when you get it integrated at that telco level and you get a few people pushing it, I think it's one of the celebs that's using it in India, and that's what's making it.
Amitabh Bachchan.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's got 30% more followers on his Bubbly blog than on his Twitter feed.
So I think we could probably get Thomas on sometime to kind of maybe explain the service and talk about what's interesting is you know, they've kind of, I think, which is interesting, is they're kind of relocating to Singapore from their intellectual level and trying to focus on this part of the world. I don't think it's getting used in Europe or America at all that I know of. So
they've been quite stealth, actually, for Sequoia Funded Company.
So we'll talk to Thomas. Anything else on Bubble Motion? I just thought it was kind of funny because it's starting to grow in the places that we tend to focus on for the podcast.
Well, it's actually quite interesting to see a lot of startups in this region are mostly back-end and not really they don't really have a consumer branding site, in fact. So Bubble Motion is essentially one that you might see them, you might see their service around, but you do not know it's actually Bubble Motion.
Correct. Yep. Which is interesting. Alrighty, moving on from there. We don't have Sirkon here, otherwise we could get the commentary on Japanese, but I thought it was interesting to see one of the cool Japanese products, which was talked about at Open Web Asia, actually, starting to get some regional love. Does anybody use this thing called the Seikai camera?
No.
I have it myself.
You don't have a smartphone.
Well, I guess my Nexus 1 is considered a smartphone, huh? But given that they discontinued them, I feel like I'm running around with a collector's item. So.
Yeah, I'm not selling that thing, but you
I'm not out on the Google Store date, you know.
So, well, Seikai camera works on Android, or is it only iPhone? No, it's on iPhone, iPad, and Android. So I haven't played with it. So none of us have played with it?
No.
Nope.
No. Well, but it's actually quite interesting that you've been seeing a lot of Japanese companies reaching beyond Japan. I think they realize there's a market saturation from Japan, and you can actually look at companies that have invested in Indonesia. What's that T-shirt company again? Sorry.
Oh, the one that's a lot like Threadless. Okay,
I just...
It starts with G, but I think we can dig it up later.
But no, I think it's interesting because if you look at the UI and kind of the funkiness with Seikai camera, it's very Japanese in style, right? And it almost has kind of that anime kind of feel to it. So yes. You know, when you look at the icons and stuff like that, so it's funny that that's taking off. But I think these are the things that Japan's really good at, which is very targeted, specialized apps that use common things in a very different way, right? So
yeah.
For me, that's what makes this stuff interesting. Now, whether or not it takes off, I'm not really sure. But
I noticed Japan these days, they like to move to China, right? They seem to feel that having the geographic distance, because maybe US is too far away, so moving to China or to Korea becomes much more natural to them. So they try to tie up their tech and business models closer to the Chinese and the Korean models, even in the adoption of the 4G standards and et cetera. Yeah.
Possibly because that's where they see the opportunity, right? And it's what they're most familiar with. You know, they read the same character sets, right? So that helps them with the language issues. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think now they're one of the biggest exporters to China, where it used to be America. It's now China, right?
Yeah.
So that makes sense. And well, Japan, I think we want
to
go ahead.
Japan is also the natural gateway for U.S. companies to go to first as well.
Definitely.
So, yeah, so they are like a gateway for both sides, actually.
But it's interesting. So I've yet to play with Seiko camera, but I don't have an iPad. So, and now that they're all sold out in Singapore.
Borrow free times.
I won't be getting one this weekend. So very neat. Well, I think we want to move to a break here. Is that correct?
Yep.
Dr. Bernard. And then we'll be right back after the break, folks. So stay tuned. This is episode number 61. Of This Week in Asia.
I'm Nicholas Aaron Koo from the Singapore Cybersports and Online Gaming Association, and you're listening to This Week in Asia.
This is This Week in Asia, episode 61, coming back from our break. And Chu Lin, let's carry on. How are you?
Good morning. Good, good. Looking forward to the rest of my Saturday.
How many Twitter followers do you have now?
62, 64.
Oh.
That's a 620% increase from zero, right?
We're approaching the century mark quickly.
Yeah, so approaching the century. Unfortunately, I think about 30% are spam vendor types, so we'll see.
Just say no.
Yes, just say no. Hello. I can block them. Yes, but Twitter is fun, you know, real-time updates. I like being able to spam more people, actually, because I used to post a lot of things to share on my Facebook page, but with Twitter, it's a lot easier to reach out to other folks, especially those who don't have Twitter.
True, indeed.
I'm trying to find a balance between the, ooh, look at this cool new article that I read, and the, look at what I had for lunch today, sort of posting. Seriously, do you really want to know what I had for lunch?
It's a tough balance to strike.
Well, if you have something awesome and you want to share with the world, please do.
That's true. That's true. So, yes, I'm going to go off and do something awesome later, and then maybe I'll tweet about it. We'll see.
Alrighty. So, continuing on with our stories, we have the next
story, which is...
also something awesome, I think.
Is it something awesome? I don't know.
It's from your part of the world, Daniel. So, go ahead.
Well, basically, MOL. MOL is... it used to be called as Malaysian Online, and now it's sort of rebranded as Money Online. It's owned by one of the big conglomerate in Malaysia, which is Berjaya. Well, it's also the company that bought over Friendster not too long ago. Probably
and
about
they with Facebook, right?
And yeah, and most recently they partnered with Facebook in terms of being their partner in selling their
Facebook credits,
yes. Because one thing MOL does have, they have really good connections. Because 7-Eleven is actually also run by Berjaya, and they sell their credits to kids using 7-Eleven who don't have credit cards. That's how they do it in Malaysia, where kids want to go and buy credits to go and play games. That's what they do. So quite recently, the CEO himself actually comment on one of their competitors' blog, Off Gamers Limited, and it created quite a stir. In fact, that people are saying that MOL is trolling on a smaller competitor and etc. Before I comment, guys, what's your take? You guys seen the thread?
The post started from Ben Ishu going to one of the competitors by the name of Offer Games, right?
Those guys were heavy.
Off gamers.
Yeah, what do Off Gamers do actually?
Practically the same thing, mostly in dealing with microcredits over for games.
Right.
Yep. They work a lot with the local players like Garena and things like that.
This story got picked up by the next web, not only the local players.
Yes.
Right. But I thought the most interesting comment was he said something along the lines after he finished trolling and lambasting everyone and say, sorry to
but I think
and say this is social media, right?
And what he wasn't said was the sticking the tongue out going nya nya nya.
But it also points to his disconnectedness with real life, which is he's up on this pillar on high, filthy rich and kind of throwing his weight and money around and pretending that people will always respect that, and then he goes and says something he shouldn't but doesn't really want to say, hey, mea culpa. He wants to pretend that it's okay for him to say that because that's the way the world works, right?
Well, just before you put history about Ganesh. Ganesh actually hails from just north of Singapore, Johor, and he started doing software for cyber cafes, and then the company got acquired by Berjaya, and he is he was actually the youngest. In the Malaysia Book of Record, he was the youngest CEO of a public listed company at the age of 21.
Wow, that's impressive.
Maybe that's the reason why the disconnect, right? Basically, he's like your version of Mark Zuckerberg in Malaysia.
Or he's upset at the latest ComScore number showing Friendster dropping like a rock. But I didn't say that, sir.
Well, but it's okay, right? But he made a deal with Facebook, to sell credit, so he'll get back all the money that he has thrown back into Friendster, basically.
Yeah, I don't think he's worried about it too much. I heard they paid, what you pay for some satay on the street, so...
Yeah. But
it's interesting. I think he probably didn't realize it was going to be this much out in the open, and it would carry on and on and on, right?
So, Daniel, I know you know Ganesh well, pretty much very well as well.
Yes.
So, is this possibly a situation where it's some stupid intern typing on his Facebook account and being such silly comments, or is it really him?
Highly unlikely, because actually, if you look at the thread in Off Gamers Facebook page, there are more than one MOL staff there. So
if it was that simple, he would just say that wasn't me, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He didn't say that.
So why is MOL trolling on their site where they should be spending time improving their business?
I have no idea. That is actually a really bizarre. I mean, I have the highest respect for Ganesh for what he does, and that is a really bizarre behavior coming from him.
Yeah.
And the fact that he didn't just stop there, he just keep going on and on. And what Smitty said, I think that is a great drawing about what he perceived about social media and etc. But then the other case is this, with all the backlash, with 100 over retweets for the articles, and I think at least 100,000 over people have seen the article or know what is going on. I don't think this is going to affect the bottom line for Ganesh. His customer is not going to care. His
customer, probably not. Yeah,
The kids are still going to buy credits, and
he's
still going to spend time developing.
This is for the digerati to get upset about, right? It honestly has nothing to do with his real world stuff, right?
Yeah,
exactly. The
but it does give you a sense of what he's like, right?
Yeah, I know. Which is actually quite weird. I this guy has it all, and yet he's trolling over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually very shocked when I saw it, because I met him, I think, 3 years back in Barcamp KL, and he didn't come across as being like that.
But that's my point, right? Like, he doesn't need to do this. He's already rich. He's had his fame. If anything, maybe his fame's on the wane, but to go and, like, call it out like this kind of makes him look like he's a little bit silly, right?
And I'm not too sure about Off-Gamer, I think, but looking at what Off-Gamer is, it's actually a fracture of what MOL is. So, I mean, in terms of size.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So is Off-Gamer gaining traction? Is that why every MOL guy is on it? Or is it just because, you know,
he was... Well, actually, that's the funny part. Off-Gamer is gaining traction after the whole thing. Especially a lot of social... I do not know whether they are customer of Off-Gamers, but at least I know a lot of the social media folks in Malaysia are gonna follow Off-Gamers and etc. Which is actually the weird thing is this. Just new. If you do a search of Off-Gamers over in Google, you see a sponsored link, which is Beware of Scam Site. One Off-Gamer, the only one Off-Gamers. Do not be scammed. That's weird.
What?
I don't know. Okay. So if you do a search on Off-Gamer, there will be a Beware of Scam site. Let me just see what is it.
Yeah, it comes up like for searches. If you search for their name, you read about people writing about not being scammed.
Aye.
But it's hard to connect the dots, though, I think.
So it seems that Off-Gamer is gaining traction after Ganesh's comment. Maybe he's indirectly trying to help out Off-Gamers.
Or maybe he's indirectly looking at it as an acquisition target or something like
that. You heard it here first.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he's sort of buying over Off-Gamer, then I do not see why not.
He has the money to do it, right?
Well, I do not know he has the money, but I know the person backing him has the money to do it. The guy who's backing him, which is the Vincent Tan. Vincent Tan is probably one of the top 10 richest men in Malaysia. Yeah. So, Off-Gamer does stuff like the Romance of Three Kingdoms that mostly sell credits for stuff, which is all Malaysia, and they only do a few regional stuff compared to MOL.
But, I mean, on the larger note, I mean, this has some kind of implication on how CEOs should engage people in social media, isn't it?
Yeah, they shouldn't do it this way.
The two bad examples are actually the CEO of BP and the CEO of MOL at this point in time.
Right. But they also, I mean, just you know, when CEO made bad behavior, it's going to be like flounced everywhere. There are, of course, CEOs that have done it properly, right? For example, I think Tony Fernandez from AirAsia does it very, very differently. He's flamboyant, but he writes very interesting tweets.
Yeah, actually, I stopped following him because he mostly tweets about his trips that around the F1 scene.
Yeah, it gets a little boring. But no, I would reckon like a better example. This is someone like Mark Cuban, who helped speak his mind many, many times over the years, but normally backs it up with his own conviction and his unwavering change. Right? Mm. I mean, to me, that's a better example. Like, he'll call out an argument with someone, but he'll continue through with it. He won't say it's not him, and he won't do the no comment thing. Mm. As soon as this guy did the no comment thing, it makes it sound like he doesn't want to finish the argument because the argument was silly to begin with, right?
Well, and you know what's the funny thing? Actually, what happened to Ganesh's Facebook account? It was actually disabled for a while, and then he actually created a new Facebook account.
Really?
Do we know why?
I do not know. Well, let me So he has two Facebook accounts now.
So one for private and one for public, is it?
Yes.
That's pretty common these days. But you should probably tell him to use Facebook pages. It might be easier to manage it that way.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I want to get involved in that.
You become the public enemy number one on social media after this, right?
No, come on. You know I'm an anti social media expert, which is I. What I do on social media is mostly in terms of being an observer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do it myself, exactly. All right, I think we've killed this one. Okay, so upcoming events, I think we wanted to talk about
September
Intel Accelerate. There's actually a few coming. There's a couple big ones. Tech Venture 2010's coming. Singtel Accelerate's coming.
There is a Social Networking Forum Asia also coming as well. It happens on the same day as Accelerate, I think. Yeah.
Yep, it does. Yeah, I need to catch up with Richard about that and see how. Bernard, you should be there or will you be at Accelerate?
I am trying to work out how to be at two places in different times. Yeah, not at the same time. Sorry.
Where is Accelerate going to be?
It's going to. I have not. I've just gotten.
Suntec.
Yeah.
Suntec and Social Networking Forum Asia will be in Copton, right? That is quite far.
Yeah, no, Copton is pretty near actually.
To Suntec?
No. It's not very far. It's actually
You can borrow my helicopter, Bernard. That's fine.
I actually like
your
private jet actually.
No place to land, like helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. The helicopter works much better because I can land on the buildings.
Sure. Do you have purple gas canisters for the helicopter?
I don't actually. Mine's more modeled after the old Batman style mobile.
We'll get you something for Christmas then.
The big bubble cockpit.
Yeah. No, I think these conferences each has its own different flavor. I think the Singtel Accelerate is focused a lot on mobile apps.
What's the other one called?
Social Networking Forum Asia, run by a company called 6degrees in UK, but they moved here. They're trying to expand the Asian presence. They've done a previous event last year, actually. They focus a lot on brands and social media. I think one thing that's very distinct about this Social Networking Forum Asia is that they try to get a lot more brands, people, to talk about their usage of social media. So
Do you know what's the current speaker list or social networking?
I only know a few of them. One of them is Thomas Crampton from Ogilvy Asia.
Thomas.
You know him as well as I do.
Well, if you speak about events, actually, next week there is going to be there's going to be a Asia Bloggers and Social Media Forum.
Where is that?
Summit thing. It's going to be in Malaysia, actually, which which is weird because I saw Thomas Campton's name over there. Uh-huh. And
go there and say hi, lah.
Yeah, he won't be coming. He's sending a rep from. Where's that thing? He's sending a rep from Australia. And I saw Michael Nestle's name over there.
Oh yeah, my collaborator. Yes.
So I'll keep you guys updated because at this point in time, the event seems a bit weird. It's going to be keynote by one of our Malaysian former prime minister, but the other names are like a bit sketchy. Yeah. So
Smitty, are you going to be involved in Accelerate as well? Because mobile centric for Asia. So I thought you would be involved in that as well.
I've been talking to Vior and I haven't decided yet. So it's got a lot going on.
Yeah,
I'm actually working with. Have you guys heard of this thing called Hack Shackers?
No.
Tell us about it.
It's I'll put the link for you. It's like so. I've been working a lot with Alan Soon, who's the managing editor of Yahoo Editorial. He used to come from the newspaper biz, I think SPH, and we've been talking a lot about. There's not really good, like social media. I think it's too much credit for being like the creator of content when the reality is it's mostly garbage.
Mostly consumers. Yeah. Where a tiny fraction of people are content creators. And right.
So Alan and I have been talking a lot about this Hack Shackers thing, which is where like journalism and technology kind of meet up. But we're also discussing kind of coming up with an Asian kind of a bent on editorial and technology journalists, meaning podcasters and bloggers, and starting to represent them as a unit for people who actually are creating quality content versus the social media kind of paste the link scenario. So
the degree, what is it called? The retweeters.
all the retweeters, the garbage. But you know what I mean? Like, journalism's changing, but the idea that it won't be affected by blogs and podcasts isn't true, but you still need to create quality content, right? So, Alan and I have been talking a lot about, you know, how could we work on something like this in Southeast Asia.
But Smitty, but I think the issue has always been there's like a two silos. It's the social media quality content is not acknowledged by the mainstream media content. It's very siloed. I don't know. This is my view of the industry.
Yeah, but so what would you point to as good content? Like every time someone tries to give me examples of this, I say, okay, and where's this good content? And they'll point you to things that aren't a good example. So I think someone like Alan, I mean, you probably don't know him, he's a huge believer in the blogging sphere, but he doesn't believe that that's social media, meaning just because you're pasting things in Facebook isn't the reality, right?
Yeah, correct.
So, but we think that this is underrepresented in the region in general, right? So we're looking into some things around that. So I'll keep you guys posted. Maybe we'll have Alan on and we can talk about it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yep.
Because it comes up once in a while. You know, bloggers are not real journalists.
I'm not going so far as to say that at all. And I agree with you, Bernard. The problem is it's that somewhere in the middle where it's proper, but that middle is not highlighted very well.
I think it's the middle ground that is more important now, because then it helps to bridge. Because I think each has its role to play, because I think there's still some quality checks from on the editorial side from the mainstream media that can be brought into social media. Okay. Well, is that all we have for the week?
No baby announcement.
Oh, no baby announcements.
What? But we're clear, but Bernard, we are clear on where they come from.
Okay.
Got that. Alrighty, so I think we're going to wrap up then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So let's roll through the list. Chu Lin, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ChuLink. At ChuLink.
I kind of call it like Chew on this, ChuLink, you know?
So. No, it's okay. I'm having enough problems with people shuffling my name around, so that's okay.
Hey, Dr. Bernard, you're speaking at the social media forum.
What's it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so is Dr.
Ganglu is coming, right?
Yeah. It's Ganglu, nicely. Okay.
Nice. Well, while we're on it, Daniel, where do we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Cervantes.com. It's spelled CERVENTUS.com. I should resume my regular duties on Monday. So for those who have... Sorry.
So no, I just wanted to apologize because for the longest time until Sirkan tweeted your interview, I had no idea you actually had a Chinese surname. I thought Cervantes was your surname.
Cervantes is a middle name that I use.
I did not realize that because you always Daniel Cervantes. I was like, Daniel Cervantes Lim? What?
I know too many Daniel Lims. Really?
Lim's your name. Oh.
You see? Out. Yeah,
it's just, not really. It's not really.
Can we call you Mr. Lim? Is that okay?
Yeah, we can call him Cervantes. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Uses that to distinguish himself, actually.
That's true. And it is.
Cervantes. I had a branding issue way long ago. So yeah. So I'm sticking with Cervantes.
I think it's good. Dr. Bernard.
You can find me at twitter.com/blongcw. Yep, and everywhere else. But it's .com. Yeah.
You're omnipresent. In fact, you'll be at two conferences at the same time. Nice. All right. And this is Smitty. You can find me at nokpis.com. We'll explain that one later. We're going to check out here episode 61. It'll be online shortly. And thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
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 All right.
All right.
40 minutes. You're unbelievable.